Good morning. Good to see everyone. First of all, I'm Pastor Paul, and if you are a guest, we are really glad to have you. I hope you got a gift bag as you came in, and in that bag, one of the things that's in there is a card that says Connection, and that's to help us out, so if you don't mind putting your information on that and leave it on your chair or hand it to me on your way out or lay it out on one of those tables, and when you do that, here's what we do. For every card we get back, we give enough funds to buy 50 pounds of food to Project Hunger. So not only are you helping us out, but you're helping some folks out, especially as we move into the cold season. That becomes very important. One other thing that isn't in the announcements or in the bulletins is tomorrow night, if you're involved in the intermittent fasting support group, community group, it will be meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, right? I think that's the time, and down at the other end. So just to let you know that that's there. And if you want to know what is that about, you can come out and you'll find out. So just something to help us be healthy, the ones that are involved with that. You know, I often share stories about my dad and mom who are here visiting. Mom, stick your hand up. We'll get you. Dad will be up here in a moment. And there's a reason for that. Part of that is because it's getting even because I ended up in lots of his sermons growing up. So that's my chance to get back at him. And in fact, when I knew that they're coming up, and I asked, I said, "Dad, would you be willing to preach?" And so he said he sure would. But I also told him, he listens to my messages. They get copies of the messages, and he listens to them. And I said, "Now you have my permission. Any of those stories I've told where I didn't get the facts quite right, you can correct my stories." And Dad says, "The only problem with that, Paul, is my memory's worse than your memory." So I might be safe there, but really glad to have my father, my spiritual mentor, here today, man that I grew up under hearing his preaching, and so it will for you too, but for anybody else for me, it'd be good to hear his preaching this morning as he brings us the word. But let me pray for him before my dad comes up. Father, thank you for your involvement in our life, for knowing each and every day what we need, for promising that you would supply those needs. You would meet us where we are. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to hear how you moved in my parents' lives this week and brought them into relationship this year, or they're in their life this morning, as Dad will share a little bit of that story. And just, Lord, help our hearts to be open to what it is you want us to hear from you this morning. And then, Lord, from that, then help us to know how to apply it to who we are in as we live and serve. And maybe there's some here, Lord, that aren't in that relationship with. Help them to hear your heart for them, how much they love you, how much you love them this morning. I just pray these things in your son's name. Amen. And this is my father, Dr. Jack. Thank you.
I was 16 years old at a basketball game. I was on the team, sitting on the bench, way at the end of the bench. Sitting on the bench was my destiny. And all of a sudden, the voice, you know, it's the last 5 minutes of the game, and you sports fans, what happens often in the last 5 minutes of the game? Well, the coach said, "Kennedy, you're in." I didn't hear him because he never, ever called me. I was looking straight out there, and my buddy poked me and says, "Jack, coach." And I looked at coach, I said, yeah, you, get in there. So I did. Now understand, I knew the plays of the game. We'd practiced many times. I knew I was supposed to guard my man. I knew there was a certain protocol in basketball. But this was my one chance. I knew this was my one chance. I'd planned for this for a long, long time, so I didn't follow the plan. I had my own plan in mind. The whistle blew. The opposing team began to dribble the ball. I left the man that I was supposed to be guarding. I ran over to him, stole the ball from him, went in for a layup. Next guy on the podium got the ball. I left my man again, went over, stole a ball from him, went in for a layup. I did that 5 times. Now, this is 5 minutes. This is the last part of the game. 5 minutes, and two guys got so mad that they clobbered me, so I went to the foul line twice. Think of all those shots. Didn't make one. Not one single shot. So you probably understand why I was not usually a starter. But the crowd went wild, and I enjoyed that because I did move all over the floor and so forth. But the best and the most important part of that night was these words from the coach. Kennedy, next week, you start. That's what I was after. Okay. Next week came. Friday night, I was home. I jumped into my car, pushed my foot on the starter. I better stop there, folks. There was a day when you did put your foot on the starter. Some of you remember that? Now, I just get in the car and push a little button up here, and some of you just speak to it. Anyway, it was dead. It would not work. I had very, very little time to get to, we were about 3.5 miles from the high school. So I ran down the Four Corners and I put out my thumb. Now understand, I did not go to church. I did not spend time with God, didn't follow God. In fact, the only time I spoke of God was when I used his name in vain. My grandkids and kids, I was a pretty profane young guy. My language was not good at all. But that night I did pray because I needed him. And I said, God, I'm standing on the corner. I need to get there. This is my chance. I need a ride, and I need a ride quick. So get me a ride soon. He didn't. He did not. Time went by. I did finally get to Talmadge Circle. You were not, that's my little town. I ran as fast as I could to the school. I got there. The school was dark. The buses were gone. Everything was shut down. I was angry. I was very angry at God. I didn't serve him, but I was angry at God. And I said to him, I looked up, pointed up at this. I said just almost these words. You could have done it. You could have got me on time. And you did not get me here on time. I shook my face in the face. I gestured to understand what's going on here at God. I used the words that I used, and I did them on purpose. I'm speaking to God. I'm very, very angry at him. The good hand of God was upon me that night. Do you know why? I'm still here. That's why. He didn't strike me dead on the spot. And probably the good hand of God has been on you, or some of you wouldn't be here today because of that. But now, 3 years later, Norm and I are walking into the church together, probably for the second or third time in our entire lives. We walk into this church, we sit down, and the service starts, and I hear the preacher say, there's someone in this room who knows what you did. Now, those were not his words. That's what I heard. There's someone in this room who knows what you did, and his name is God, and you are going to face him one day. And I remembered that day. You know what day I'm talking about? I remembered that day, and I was afraid. I'm toast. I don't have a chance. I'm lost. It's hopeless for me. And I've never forgotten, you can tell that, folks, I've never forgotten that day. And in fact, I still shudder at my foolhardiness as a young kid. And what God could have done, what God should have done that day. I had defied and cursed Almighty God. And I'm going to stop here for a little bit, folks. I want you to see me in that church. I was sitting in the very last row. because I was very uncomfortable being in church anyway, sitting in the very, very last row. And a preacher just told me, "You're going to go to hell." Now, he didn't say those words, but I understood. I added up. I knew where I belonged. And it's hopeless for me, and I am lost. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Can you understand what's going on inside me? Now, folks, outwardly, I was as cool as a cucumber. You would never notice it. Inside, I was terrified. What was going on? Who was dealing with me at that time? The Holy Spirit of the living God. But I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that theology. But that's what was going on. And inside, though I said not a word, I'm saying, "Oh, God. Oh, God. What have I done?" I was praying, but I didn't even know it. But the preacher's still talking. He's still preaching. And I think, what did he just say? What was that? In spite of all the wrong you have done, and you've done plenty wrong, this is the preacher. In spite of what you deserve, God loves you. It was like I was the only man, the only person in that room. And I said inside, "Me? No. You couldn't love me." He went on. And he doesn't want you. He doesn't want you to be lost. He wants to take you to heaven. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. He paid the price you could never pay in all your life. He took the penalty of all those things you've done wrong. He took it upon himself. And he's standing outside your life right now, knocking on the door. Will you open that door? Will you let him in? Are you ready to turn from your sins and trust him as your Lord and your Savior? He led us in a little prayer, very important prayer. He said, "If you mean it, I want you to pray this prayer." And I did pray that prayer, folks. I prayed that prayer. He got to the very end, and he said, "I want to help you. If you really meant it, I want to help you. So if you prayed that prayer, I want you to raise your hand." Folks, my hand shot in the air. My sins were forgiven. I was going to heaven. Someone else in that church raised their hand too. I didn't know who it was, but I knew what had happened to me. I knew that I was on my way to heaven. The preacher didn't get to talk to us. Somehow he got stopped in front. So Norman and I are now, we're in my car, we're on our way to lunch. And I had said nothing to her about that. Biggest thing in my life that ever happened. I was embarrassed. I said nothing to her. And she began to cry. Norman began to cry. And I said, why are you crying? She said, "This morning, I raised my hand. I accepted Jesus. I'm a Christian. And you're not going to want to go with me anymore." You know what she was doing, folks? She was doing the most natural thing we do when we come to know Jesus Christ. She never read Matthew 28 where he said go. She never read Romans 10, how should they hear without a preacher? But she was already doing it. She was already, and on top of that, without saying it, she was saying to me, "I'm his. Even if I lose you, I belong to Jesus Christ." And you know what I said? I said, "I did too. We were born into the family of God exactly the same moment." Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Through many, dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The last stanzas, really sing it. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first decades later, I'm passing over a lot of times, 2 decades later, the hand of God, the good hand of God, led our family to Linwood, California. I'm close to 40 years now, 40 years old at that time. We were village missionaries. And in between, I was called into the ministry. I was able to spend 7 years studying this book. Can you imagine that? God let me. He let me go away to school and spend 7 years studying and learning from this book from some of the greatest teachers in the world. God gave me that wonderful privilege. How many get that privilege? God gave that to me. Now I were married. We had 4 children, 2 young teenage boys. Linwood, California. 3,500 people, just west of Barstow, California, on a high desert. Never, ever had a church. Now, let me tell you about the town. Let me tell you about the whole area so you understand where we're going, what kind of atmosphere we're in. There were 2 military bases in that area, a Army one and a Marine. Military personnel. Understand what all goes on with the military personnel there. That's what's there. In that area, wife and husband swapping was almost the normal way of life. You get in the picture of what's going on there. There was the racial tension in that whole area was so intense that whenever we had a football game or basketball game, we had to have a strong police force. I mean, they were around in uniform all around just to keep the peace. We had blacks, we had whites, we had Hispanics, we have Indians. And they're all thrown together into that school, and they hated each other. And then you throw in drugs and alcohol. There were explosions going on all times, fights, all kinds, gangs. That's where God set it, right in the middle of that. In fact, one time, 5 high school guys got our son Paul and his little brother. They cornered them in the stairwell of the school. You know why? They were PKs, they were preacher's kids, and they were going to take them out. Now, they were trapped. They can't get out. Paul and Mark are standing there, and these guys are moving in. And Paul said to them, come ahead, but know this, the Kennedy brothers have never lost a fight. And meanwhile, his little brother was thinking, are you crazy? The Kennedy brothers never have had a fight. I'm saying all that to say this was not a good place. Not a good place at all. And the good hand of God had us there. Linwood not only never had a church, Linwood did not want a church. Except for a small hand of believers, small handful of believers, no one wanted our family there. And especially didn't want the preacher and his kids to move next door to them. They did not want. This was a hard, hard time for us. We were isolated. There was hostility. I'll give you just one quick example. I'm here. I have neighbors on each side. I want to get to know them. I came out one morning. Jim, my neighbor, was walking out at the same time. I hollered over, hi, Jim. Jim did a little gesture to me, turned around and walked in the house. He didn't want to have anything to do with me. Walk back in. A pastoral area that was a pretty affluent area, and we were very poor. I had bought a quarter of beef so I could feed our family. And the neighbor on the next door, next side of us, stole our meat out of our freezer. I had a garage that stole it. He said, how do you know they did it? We lived on the high desert. I can see their footprints. Here, back, here, back. I'm trying to, you understand this is a terrible place. And I could not make any, we had a little group of people, but I couldn't get in there. And finally one day, Norm and I, in our living room, the kids were away at school, got down on our knees in front of the couch. And we prayed. Oh, God. Somehow, some way, open these people here to us. We can't reach them for you unless they let us in. And folks, there were tears on that couch that day. We had just left a church that loved us. Now we're living, our whole family is, we're living among people who don't even want us around, don't like us at all. And the good hand of God was there when we prayed that morning. He was only there, he heard that prayer. A few days passed. Norm and I were out shopping for groceries. Paul, Joy, our young 8-year-old daughter, Joy and Paul were at the neighbor's house while we were out shopping. And we get back home. As we walk into the door, the phone's ringing. I answered the phone, a boy's voice. Pastor Jack, Joyce had an accident. Dad, Mom took her to the hospital. Now here's my thought. Oh man, she probably broke her arm riding that bike. Joyce is one of those kids that always looked at this. Anyway, Norma called the hospital. Nurse answered. Sorry, Mrs. Kennedy. It's a dog bite, and it's pretty bad. Norma's heart fell. And she and I, as we rushed to the hospital, we were preparing for the worst. But folks, not for what we saw. The dog had torn her nose almost off of her face. There was a gaping hole in her right cheek where the cheek used to be. We walked to that room and Norma screamed, oh, no! And Joy began to cry. And immediately, Norma regained her composure. Tears were streaming down her face. But she was reassuring her little girl. And then Joy said to me, Daddy, am I going to die? And I didn't know. I didn't know. I looked up, the surgeon was standing over the corner, and he shook his head. It was a bad wound, but it wasn't mortal. And I said, no, honey, you're not going to die. Daddy, why don't you pray to Jesus for us? An 8-year-old girl. I tenderly hugged her, had to be very careful. I laid my head on her legs. And I tried. I tried, folks. But the words would not come. And I said, oh God, if you've ever helped me, help me now for my little girl's sake. And he did. And I did pray. And then they rushed us from the room. Been waiting a long time for us to get there. The medical team was in a hurry. But folks, I didn't stop in the waiting room. I walked right straight through that waiting room. Norma followed me, headed right for our car. I got in the car, I closed the door of the car. And the floodgates just opened. I could not stop sobbing. Not just, I was sobbing. My little girl. I screamed at her. Norma became very concerned. And she says, don't worry, honey. God will take care of us. And I said, I know that. But I can't stop. And inside, I was screaming, why? Why, God? Why would you do this to our little girl? Where, folks, was the good hand of God at that moment? I'll honestly tell you, though I was in agonizing pain, I knew the good hand of God was there. I knew that. But my heart was broken, and I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know why. You ever been there? Heads or not? Some of you may be there right now. He doesn't always answer us, but he has a reason. What was going on? Many things were going on, folks. But one thing that was going on is that God had seen our tears that day when Norma and I prayed, leaning before that couch. And the good hand of God was beginning to answer our prayer. Let me tell you how. Well, I wondered how. In Barstow, a big city, we're out in the country, there was a big newspaper. And this was a tremendous, big, human interest story. And the paper grabbed it. They said, hey, that's going to be good. And the Kennedy family hit the front page. I mean, pictures and all. Headlines, front page. Our family was the featured story. Who we were, why we came there, what had happened. And then the two radio stations had down grabbed it. And it broadcast us all over the area. And the mayor of the city of Barstow came in to see us. And all of a sudden, everybody in the whole area knew the Kennedy family. The Bible says this: those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Before I couldn't even get into a home. They wouldn't open the door. They'd open or shut it, slap my face. Now, folks, strangers were coming to our door, knocking on our door, bringing us food. Sometimes you say, "We're so sorry. We're so sorry for what's going on." And later on, I went out knocking on the door like I had done before. And I opened the door. All I got out was, "Hello, I'm Pastor Jack." "Pastor Jack, we know who you are. Come on in. How's Joy?" All those homes. Why? Do you see what's going on? Do you see God doing his fantastic work? They were in compassion. These people were reaching out to us. You know why? In every home, there's a family. And they had kids. And they knew what we were going through. And they could not help but respond. So, I gathered our little band of believers together. And here's the essence of my message. I said, "Folks, when Norm and I were broken, the people of this town, your neighbors and mine, the people of this town came to us." And those people who came to us are not going to walk into our church. But your neighbor may be broken too. You have a neighbor on this side, a neighbor on that side. They're not going to come to us. I want us to do what those neighbors did to Norm and I when we were in deep broken spirit. Let's start going out to our neighbors. You know what's happened? We're not going out to preach. We're just going out right now. God will open that door. He'll work out so they'll ask you about Jesus Christ. Our people started taking in washings and ironings, where people struck in. They started cleaning up yards of their neighbors. They go next door and clean up the yard. They started fixing cars. They started taking care of little babies where mothers just were so tired and worn out, so they could get out and get away. Sometimes all they did was hug them and cry. And one of the ways they did that, they walk up, knock on the door of his neighbor, and says, "Hey, you know, when Pastor Jack and Norma's little girl got bit by the dog, that people went to them and said, 'We're going, we're coming to you.'" Now, you understand what that's saying? A lot of things that say, we go to that church down there on the road. But they're not saying that. They're not preaching it. But they're telling them why they're there. And folks, I have to leave. I'm leaving so much out. But I want to tell you something. Within weeks, there were 23 Bible studies going on in that little town of Linwood, Bible studies that lead people to Jesus Christ. 23 of those. And people were coming to those. And then people, now you've got our building. We had a little storefront building. That's all. There was a faded milk sign on the outside. And it just was not attractive at all. But pretty soon, people were flooding into that. And we're just starting, by the way. I just started. And the next Sunday morning, about two Sundays later, there were a whole bunch of people there, and we didn't have enough chairs for them to sit down. Some were sitting, a whole bunch were standing around, and it was very informal. I got up and said, "Folks, I apologize for that, but I got to tell you something. We're just getting started here. We don't have money. There's a group called Village Mission that sends, and they're paying my salary right now, so we don't have money to buy chairs, but you're all counting. I don't know what to do. Anybody have any suggestions?" One guy raised his hand. "Hey, Pastor, I got a couple of lawn chairs out there." Another gal said, I got some kitchen chairs. One guy said, I got some picnic benches. Can you imagine what our church looked like next week? Can you picture that? Can you picture that? And all those things there. And they were filled with people. It was just fantastic. And then, now you realize, this is brand new, this little tiny group. Pretty soon, 120 people. We didn't have this room. We had to go to two services. We had, God's hand was reaching into these lost. Dozens and dozens of people came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and began to grow. I'm going to tell you one story of just one individual. Her name is Bessie Smith. Let me describe the scene. That day, that Sunday, it was 110 degrees outside. And we had on that little building a swamp cooler on the roof. Do anybody know what a swamp cooler is? Any of you have a swamp cooler? Some of you? Evaporated coolers on a high desert, and they do cool. Well, we had had a wind the night before and knocked over the filters. So the fan was still working. It's pulling air in off of that hot roof. Can you imagine how hot it was inside the church? And there are 90 people in there. And I'm preaching, and that's not going to be a long message. Even the preacher's not going to preach a long message that morning. It was a short message, and sweat was just pouring off of me. And I said, amen. And I was headed the same place everybody else was. I wanted to get out just as fast as I possibly could. And I'm moving my way up. And Mrs. Smith, I found out her name, she came forward and stopped me. Now, I got to describe Bessie Smith. Immaculately, about 50 years old. Beautifully dressed. Perfect makeup. Not then, though. You understand, she is sweating. Now, understand, she doesn't even notice that. You know what that means? She is desperate. This woman is absolutely desperate. And she's standing in front of me, wringing her hands. And she said to me, I feel so awful. I haven't been able to sleep at nights. I know something's wrong. Now, Reverend, I go to church. But I think maybe I've come to rededicate myself to God or something. And I said, Mrs. Smith, I have no doubt in my mind that you believe in Jesus. And she nodded. I said, Bessie, do you understand this? There is a big difference between believing and receiving. I said, I know you believe in him. But have you ever personally received him into your life? Have you ever invited him? Jesus, the one you believe in, have you ever invited him to come into your heart? Her eyes lit up and she says, you know, that's my problem. That's my problem. I said, would you like to right now? Oh, she said, oh, yes. And she did. Next Sunday, she's back with her husband, who tended bar in the town. Folks, stories like that were happening over and over and over again. One reason I tell you all this is this. God wants that to happen to True North Church. You all have neighbors. You don't have to be preaching to them. You all work with people. You go to school with kids. Remember that kid that no one likes? You can like that kid. You come alongside that person. Some of the guys, people you work with, are having a rough time. Next door day, maybe having a hard time. You can go over there. You can become their friends. God wants you to do that. And then we come to the very heart and soul of Norma and me. I say to you, I don't know who's sitting out here. One of you may be like I was so long ago. you think there's no hope in the world for me. And you may not use my words, but you said, oh God, what have I done? And you sit out there right now and you're smiling, but inside you're afraid. You're afraid. Or you may be like Mrs. Smith was. So desperate. I say to you what the pastor said to me a long time ago. Though he knows all about you, he loves you. He is ready, wants to, with all his heart, take you to heaven. But in order for that to happen, you need to do what I had to do that day, did that day, what Bessie Smith did. Turn from your sins. Say, oh God, I'm coming to you. I'm turning my life over to you. I'm going to pray a prayer. Would you bow your heads? I'll bow my head. Similar to the prayer that the pastor prayed for me that day. If you are like, if you're that person who's reaching out and God has spoken to your heart and right now you have that desperate feeling, here's the prayer. Oh God, I have really messed up. There's no hope for me, but I hear that Jesus died for my sins. I don't deserve it, brother. God, I don't deserve it at all. But I believe Jesus will take me to heaven, and I hear it now. Turn from my sins, and I invite him into my heart. Keep your heads bowed. I say this as the pastor said to me that time so long ago. Pastor Paul wants to help you. He wants to help you. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, remember when he said, raise your hand, I shot my hand. If you prayed that prayer, here's my challenge and appeal to you. While every head's bowed, raise your hand and say, Pastor Jack, I have prayed that prayer. I'm waiting to see if any young or old, did you pray that prayer? Now lift your eyes and let me say this to you. As True North family, I urge you, I plead with you, I encourage you, get to know those around you. Get into their lives and God will open the door for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul.
Let's pray together. Father, thanks for placing your good hand upon us. The reality is that there are times when we believe that and feel it very strongly, when things seem to be going the direction that we want them to go, think they should go. And then there are those times when it doesn't feel that way, but it hasn't changed a thing. Your good hand is upon us. Thank you for loving us, knowing every detail about our lives, knowing things that we wouldn't even tell anyone else. And yet, in the midst of that, when those things that we're even ashamed of, that you tell us that you love us and you're there for us and you want to be our Heavenly Father, you invite us into your family, you offer forgiveness as a gift, not something we work for or earn. It's not about church attendance. It's about receiving that gift of forgiveness and adoption into your family. And Lord, I pray that everyone in this room is making that decision. And Lord, thank you that we can trust you. We can trust you in those times when we are celebrating everything about our life. We trust you in those times when we're in the depths. And you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for the opportunity to hear another story of how you stepped into a life and changed the course of not only their life here on earth, but their life forever. And that's an opportunity that each of us have. Thanks for allowing us to be here together. And Lord, as we move out into a world around us that does not know you, many of them don't know how much you love them, then Lord, help us do just a wonderful job of showing your love to everyone we come in contact with. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close together.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And you are perfect, 'cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. And love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect, 'cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To
Let's close with that thought. You are perfect in all your ways.
'Cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us. Have a great Sunday, great week, and we will see you next time.